Hi, everybody. Katie here with Johnny Like Sink or Swim, and we have one of John's friends today who has a great sense of humor, and his name is Dan Goodine. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, sis. How you feeling this morning?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
Hey, Dan. What's going on, bro? I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell people about you, and then you can tell them about yourself. Me and Dan are friends for a couple of years now, and we've done talks together. We've done shows together. We advocate in our neighborhoods. We grew up from East New York, Brownsville, Jamaica Avenue. We try to give back a little bit, save some lives, join people together by nationality, doesn't matter, color, religion, area. We're just trying to get show some love to people and keep them off the streets, keep them alive. So, unfortunately, me and Dan have a couple of things in common. We have kids in jail. We have lost children. So we understand the street. Hopefully, we could get a message out there. It's Black History Month. And all my love for you, Dan, as usual, and my brother. Just can you introduce a little bit about yourself to people?
Yes. Good morning. My name is Daniel Goodine. I'm the co-founder of an organization called MEL, Men Elevating Leadership. I hope I'm look like I'm losing contact here. My wife and I lost a son to gun violence some 18 years ago. I'm an advocate in Brownsville, like John said, that for the Cure Violence Program, initiated run by the mayor's office. Also with that, I'm also a member of an organization called UA3 that links out of Chinatown, out of Canal Street. And it's just amazing that most of the food and things that I do is connected from Canal Street. And it helps my community be able to sustain during the time of pandemic to now. So, you know, I'm a little bit all over the place, but it comes from my upbringing in the South. We was always had a village and always cared about people and wanted to make sure they were safe and good.
Yeah, Dan, I got to tell you, do a lot of good work. And a lot of respect for you, what you do, the time you put into it. And I want to say also a condolence to our friend Michael that passed away. And he was a great man, really. You know, I love the guy. Really hardworking guy, great sense of humor. He knew it on both sides. He had family, a police officer. He was a correction officer at one time. And he understood the street. He understood, you know, our neighborhoods, which you understand. And, you know, this month is important, especially for the Black community. And, you know, I just got to, like I always say, just show a lot of respect for everybody from our area. We know we have a struggle, and we got to keep that struggle going and keep people surviving.
Yes, John. You know, I was remiss for not speaking about Mike, but last night I did a Zoom to my people down in Virginia. And, I had brought some flowers and I had them with me thinking about Mike every day. John, is no joke. Every day Mike comes across my mind and it's a great loss. And I want to just say that we need to take care of ourselves a little better. You know, when you saw Mike looked like a picture of health. And not long after that, he was gone. So, you know, I want people to, you know, check on themselves, you know. Wellness is everything, and I miss my brother, but we're still trying to continue to do the work, and with your help, I appreciate you so much, because, you know, Mike would have been right here with me this morning, but he is with me in my heart, really is.
Yeah, and yeah. Dan, one of the reasons John wanted you on is because we're focusing on dads and fathers who exemplify doing good things in the world. And I don't know if you men realize how long you've actually been under attack. When my kids were little, 20 years ago, we used to read the Berenstain Bears stories. And I used to actually glue some of the pages together because I didn't want to read them to my children, but they always made the dad look like a doofus. And, you know, it was just that it's kind of like the frog in the boiling water, where you know, just little by little, they're chipping away at fatherhood and manhood. And whenever John and I are talking about the ills of society, it always comes back to the family unit. And so he thought of you when we were discussing this whole thing. And I'm just super happy to meet you because, you know, if John gives a recommendation, then it's always a good thing.
Well, I want to chime in with that. You know, I'm just a carbon copy of what I saw coming up from Virginia. As a young child, I had to leave New York because I wasn't a tough kid. My mother had to remove me, and she sent me to live with her sisters in Virginia. And that was the best thing that could ever happen to me. But the key thing that I always noticed, that there would always be some men on Sunday at the church. Didn't understand who they were. But anything that ever happened around us, those men or their family would always pop up. And I later realized that they were the Masons and the Eastern Stars, but they took care of us. So what you see me do sometimes, John, is just what somebody did for us coming up. And I have to pay it forward. And if I don't pay it forward, my heart just don't sit right in my community. Most of the people that raised us are no longer with us, but in our heart, we understand that Mr. Jones, Mr. Alexander wouldn't want you to do certain things. If you had to open a door, see an elderly lady, you had to open that door. You had to say, yes, ma'am, no, sir. You have to do these things because that's the way you was taught. And sometimes I get in trouble in New York because people say, don't call me ma'am, don't call me sir. I said, but listen, that's what we were taught. And I can let you know that I'm probably the worst. I'm probably the worst classmate. All my classmates are the who's who in America, from Brigadier Generals to Chuck Deutsch, a Supreme Court judge, to Charlotte Deutsch that worked with the Obama administration as a veterinarian. You know, so my upbringing was everything. When they talk about the roots, my roots, I'm a New Yorker and hop, my roots are coming from Virginia. And it helped me to do what I do. It helped me to be a better father, even though when your children sometimes fly away from you, they go astray, but we still those fathers. And it hurts us when we don't see them mimic us, but they have to grow. They have to move on their own sometime. And that's what happens with life.
So how did you feel when your mom sent you to live somewhere else? How old were you?
I was 9 years old, and I got a culture shock because in my mind, you know, like I heard you talk about the books. I thought I was going somewhere to huts and like somewhere in the wilderness. And when I got there, it was like a little New York, beautiful houses, you know, with so much fascination, and I was happy. I learned to adapt very quickly. Met a lot of friends. I'm an only child, so now I can tell you, sis, I have many sisters and brothers through that relationship, and it was the best thing my mom ever did for me. And I need to tell you this: my mother was born in 1915. She had me when she was 45, so she understood that maybe she couldn't give me everything I needed at that time. She was a hard worker, but she sent me to a family of her sisters and brothers, which were 13 children. And I got to meet all my uncles and aunts, and that was something that a lot of my cousins never got to see. So, you know.
And that's an intense amount of love because I can't imagine her heart and wanting what's best for you, but to be able to, you know, give your child to somebody else to raise, that's amazing. Your mom is an amazing woman.
Well, you know, like what she did for me is what she probably saw coming up too, because, you know, when children lose their parents, my mother and her sisters had to sometimes raise each other. The oldest one had to take, when their mother died, they had to step in as a mother. So, you know, they got great training. And I'm telling you, I had some of the most fascinating aunts and uncles. We come from a place called Palmer Springs, Virginia, and we call it the middle of heaven. And I'm telling you, if you ever went there, you can never get stuck. You can never be stranded. Somebody's gonna come up. Somebody's gonna help you. Somebody's gonna, and that's what I learned. And I just need to tell a small story about my aunt. My aunt is named Eliza, Mary Eliza Baskerville. And one day she sent me to help someone, and the lady gave me 50 cents. Got back home, my aunt heard the 2 quarters in my pocket, and she made me take it back. And the reason why she made me take it back, because she said that 50 cent at that time could have bought a lot of potatoes or something for the family that they needed it. And I didn't ask you to go work for somebody, I asked you to go help somebody. And that's been my life mission, just to help. Just from that little incident, everything ain't about a payday for me. We lived on a farm. We lived on a farm of a black man that had 400 acres of land. That was unheard of in that time.
Yeah.
The milk came that we drunk in school came from Kinsey Tally Farm. And we're all lifelong friends. It was six families on that farm. And we all today still speak. And I'm talking about from the age of 9 to 65. And that's amazing.
That's very cool.
Yes.
Hey Dan, how big of a guy you are, so people know.
I'm 6'3" and shrinking. I'm 6'3", 260 pounds, but I'm shrinking. Every time I get up, my bones is aching, but I still do what I did on the farm. We had a farm in Brownsville. I used to work in a farm. We had six of them, and one in Howard House in the projects. We grew 4 tons of food to feed the people. There's an agriculture school right down the block. I'm trying to work with them to give them what they gave us, the science of agriculture from Virginia. I'm almost like at home on my old age. I'm phasing out. I want to go back on the farm, and I want to be able to take this big frame and sit on the porch and just look at some land. But my job is not complete in New York yet. And I know that I see it every day with what some of the things I see around me. And I just want to keep on giving because I know my family, they still see what I do in New York. And I could never go home and say, I'm not doing anything, because that's not how we was built.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I brought your size up is I want people to know the size of your heart, really. And your mom moved you out, not because you're not a tough guy. You are a tough guy for the people who don't know, but you're a good-hearted man is the difference. And your heart is what that community needs. And what I wanted to talk about is more people like yourself stepping up and stepping into positions as fathers or father figures for some of the young guys in the neighborhood so we can save their lives and get them to develop into who you were. And your mom gets a lot of credit for doing that and stepping you into to the person you are, because you don't just help them, you also help me. You talk to me when I need somebody, and I speak to you. Yesterday, you spoke to me about something I was really disappointed in hearing. A guy had a problem on a train, I believe it was 25th Street. And I've been looking into it, and I hope it has nothing to do with my community of Albanians.
Right.
I'm going to ask the Albanians out there that I know, we don't have, we're not, our country's not built on hatred of religion or race or any kind of thing like that. So I'm disappointed to hear that anybody would attack somebody on a train or try to attack them on a train. And, you know, hopefully we can find out who did it and get to the bottom of it and stop it, because it's just, we can't stand for that. And, you know, me and you were brothers close. And I was so disappointed to hear that poor man telling that story to me on the phone with you yesterday. So, you know, these things happen, and there's hatred in people's hearts, and we got to stop that. There's, you know, we got to keep doing what we're doing.
But John, I need to say this too. When I first met you, I was in between a rock and a hard place. federal investigator came to my house, was telling me what I need not to do when I come to court. Like, I need not to lie about my son and this, that, and that. And after a while, he realized that it was a wasted conversation. That, no, I'm not going to lie for my son. Matter of fact, if I knew my son was doing anything wrong to anyone, I'd be the first one to take him to the proper authorities, because that's not how we were raised. But when he put me on the phone with you, I can actually say that things changed a lot. People don't understand, you know, being in my community, we just see things sometimes from one side, one perspective. My dudes in Brownsville, these my dudes. But now I got a dude that was on the phone, that traveled the world, that we connected in a phone, because he told me something one time. He said, Danny, please tell your guys to stop being, John, I'm going to say what you said. Stop being niggas to the mob. And when you came to Brownsville, I saw how many people that knew you. And what you just said about the relationship and race and stuff, none of those guys that came that day had a bad thing to say about you. They came, they saw you, you know, they greet you, you greeted them. And I saw a brotherhood. I saw a connection that, hey, we can cross some invisible lines now. And that's the problem with what's happening in Brownsville. We have gangs that can't go across the street because there's visible lines and they're territorial. And you helped me open up some of those boundaries in my neighborhood by being able to have you here and you coming here. And you was like a celebrity to some of them guys, that older guys that I met. And every day I come to work, you know, they look at me in a different light. And that was because you came through. And I want to preach and thank you for doing that, you know, because that was very important.
Those guys, you know, I talk about it all the time. We grew up together. So a lot of those guys, we know each other since we're kids. And they know, even in the chow hall, I wasn't one of those guys would sit on the white side only. I used to cross over on the other side, sit with black, Spanish. People used to look at me and I said, well, I grew up with these guys and my brother since we're kids. That ain't never going to change for me. I'm never going to ride that train that everybody else wants to ride. And I'm not that hate guy. You know, my kids have a lot of uncles. They're black. They're not white. And I raise my kids the same way. So I try to share that love with everybody and tell them, listen, there ain't nothing about skin. Stop that stuff about skin. This ain't 1900 anymore. And, you know, everybody, you got to look and band together and help each other, especially for our neighborhoods. There's too much death there. There's too much drugs there. There's too much, you know, just trying to survive and get someplace positive. And, you know, hopefully me and you and some of those guys that I grew up with did prison time with me or didn't do prison time when we grew up in those neighborhoods, we know what it is. So, you know, that's just me being real with people. And hopefully, and, you know, I talk about a lot of guys from the hood that, you know, over the last, you know, 5-6 years, I got friendly with Fat Man Scoop. I bring him up all the time because he's a positive influence in the neighborhoods. So anybody like that is positive, yourself, Michael, that's what we need. And we need other, you know, people, adults that been through things like we have, whether prison or not prison, step up and be a figure to the younger kids. Stop them from killing each other, stopping them ruining their own lives, man. And that's really what it's about, trying to save some lives so they don't ruin it and don't go to jail like our sons are in jail. So, and, you know, I lost a daughter to drugs. So, you know, obviously we've been through it all. And I just want to save some kids and give them a chance at life.
That's what I think is so important, is people understand that women have the heart and, you know, we're the heart in the relationship or the family. But young men need older men to mentor them as well. And, you know, to see the two of you and, you know, John, when you mentioned Dan's heart, that's exactly what I was thinking too, is that you clearly can hear and see that he has a generous, kind heart and wants to make the world a better place. And you men speaking out, I think, is so important, because you know, I can't teach my son how to be a man. You know, his dad has to do that. So I'm just so happy that we're doing this.
Well, I talk about it, and Dan knows, I talk about unity. I hate when anybody does a division of people or religion. You know, we're all men. We're all people. We're all looking for one thing: family, success, a good future. And so when I watch the news and I watch them trying to pit division and gaslight people against each other by color, and it drives me crazy, because I didn't grow up like that. We grew up where then, you know, we grew up in those neighborhoods. And in those neighborhoods, we all struggle. We struggle with poverty. We struggle with losing our friends, our family, drugs, like I said. So we need people to step up, just like Dan. Dan, listen, the first day me and Dan met, he's just a genuine guy. We hit it off. We've been good friends since. We call each other when we need each other. And I mean, I'll support him in anything he does. He's such a good human being, really.
And likewise, yeah. But John, I don't know if I ever told you a story. Back in the days, I was a guardian angel. When I came back from Virginia, I became a guardian angel. And it was a misfortune of going to Atlanta, Georgia when he was killing the kids. So I stayed down there 6 months at the Atlanta murders. And at that time, my bodyguard is James Baldwin, that was writing a book of evidence of things not seen about the Atlanta murders. But that too left something in me that I had to be a protector of young people. I had to be. So when I came back to New York and I started shooting photographs, I adopted 7 high schools, because now I know I got a way to be able to talk to young people. See, you know, you have to have tricks in the trade. I know that if I take a picture of them, that I can walk to that player and talk to him. And it's been a blessing to be a photographer, to be a guardian angel, to meet people like you, because it's just putting things in a bundle for me and being able to say I don't have to work that hard, because now it's more of us understanding who we are. And sometimes when we don't understand who we are, we just pass people in the street, don't even say good morning. But we had to say good morning in Virginia. We had to say have a nice day. And yeah, those are the things that made a difference in my life. And I continue to support my background and my roots and what people gave to me. So I want to let you know, brother, I have been, since the time I heard of your loss, I have been proactive in trying to clean up some of this mess I see around here with the fentanyl in my neighborhood, because we didn't lost about 10 people. Since the time you spoke to me about your loss. And I know it's more than that. I'm just telling you the ones that I know we lost. And I'm trying to work with some people to see what we can do to help this thing, but it's bigger than us sometimes.
Yeah, I think the more we push the young guys and kids to God, and I'm not, you know, I think that'll help them move forward in a positive direction. I think a lot of people forgot about God and praying and faith. And since I lost my daughter, since I lost some of my family members, I have stronger faith than I used to have. A lot of people lose it. I gained it during my hardship. And I'm hoping that people are listening to what you have to say. And everything you say is such positive things. And that's what we need. We need more people like you, like yourself out there and spreading that love and positivity, and push the idea of family unity and not allowing these kids to run the streets by themselves. I know they don't know any better, like I did. I ruined my life in the street, getting shot up, getting stabbed up, spending years in prison for what? And as you get older, you start realizing, you know, don't waste your life and try to tell kids the same thing. Man, don't waste your life's worth something. Don't let nobody tell you nothing different. And it's a dollar earned, man, is a dollar. You don't need to go out there and steal and sell drugs like I did. Those mistakes. Hopefully they listen to us.
Yeah, and it's just exponential. You know, if you tell one young male adult, and then he goes on to tell 10 of his friends, it's just, you know, the work that you're doing is just so important to keep the family structure alive.
Dan, one other thing, I want to make sure everybody hears this, because I talk about pro-community, pro-police, pro-veterans, pro-America. But Michael said something when we were on the show a couple of years ago together, and I'm going to tell the kids in the neighborhood, because I caught some bad beatings by the police over the years. Comply. Later on, you could complain. Hard to do that sometimes. And when you get a bad cop and he's pushing up on you, just comply at that moment. Later on, we could complain. Right. You know, I made this mistake. And for the police that are out there, same thing. If you see a bad cop, you got to say something, because it's only causing more animosity in our neighborhoods. There's a lot of good police officers out there. Michael was one of them at the time. His family members were one of them. And he said, you know, spoke against some of the bad ones too. And
yes, we did.
And everything. But there's a lot of good. So, you know, our community's got to stick together for both parts.
And we still are connected. And when I say we, I'm including Mike. I know he's looking down. We have a good relationship with the 7573 housing. We just had cops and kids at our restaurant at the culinary school the other night. They were in here cooking, and you know, I got to send you some pictures, John. But it's I spoke to those young people, and I told them I normally talk to guys in red and blue. Now I'm talking to explorers, and don't give up on your dream. It's gonna be rough, you know, but it was like when I was a guardian angel. I was the only guardian angel at one time in Brownsville. And I did get off the train in my red, but they respected that who I was because I was taking care of their parents. So here I am, 65 years old now, and we're still fighting the fight because it's a never-ending battle, you know, to find the love and respect. And we're in a village. And, you know, and I've been pleased to know John, because I don't have no fear now. I really don't have fear. The fear I had as a child, I know I can walk into any neighborhood. A lot of people still recognize me for what I have done in the past. Right. So it helps me to be able to tell the story and to talk to young people. And I thank y'all, you know, just for giving me the opportunity just to say what I'm saying now, because it might reach a couple more people out there that may hear the story and do the right thing.
Right.
If I just want to say some of the guys in the neighborhood, PT, Merc, Baby, and, you know, some of you other guys that did time with me, and Money, any of you guys that did time with me, change your lives, and you're out there, you got kids now, you know, we all see each other still, we all talk to each other. And, you know, I just want to pass that word, keep our kids alive, get them to go in another direction. We already know the street brings us a couple of things. It brings us death. It brings us jail. It brings us addiction. Nothing good. So, you know, hopefully these messages continue and we could change each neighborhood slowly. You know,
yeah, I'm sure you are.
John, I'm going to try to shift some. I don't know if I can do it, but I just need to show you something real quick. Can you see this?
Yeah, I can see some of it. Yep.
And at the top, it says Palmer Springs, Virginia.
Yeah.
But last night, what I did was I paid respect to all the families. And on that board right there, every family in our community, the names of every family that took care of us. And that's how deep the roots is from what I learned as a child, because even though they're not here, they got grandkids that's still here. John, we had a yard. This woman had 17 kids. But every Saturday and Sunday, she would allow the community to come play in her yard. And Miss Alexander, we know she didn't need no more children in her yard. But 50 years later, we all friends because of that yard. We played ball there. We went to school together. And if we had beef, if we had a little fight, in that yard, when we got on that bus Monday and we went to school, that beef ended in that yard. And we all went to school and we all went to the same churches. And that's something that I'm trying to say, how so many young people lose to gun violence in New York when there's something missing here, a sense of value. The gun, we had guns in Virginia. We knew what the guns was for hunting and protecting the family, not to kill our friends. We never, ever shout out friends. And that's the only thing I haven't been able to solve in New York, really, you know, but we're still working on that.
Them to have a, Dan, the problem is because, you know, I was a big shooter when I was on the street. And I don't know what at that time what I was thinking. I was just thinking about the money, man, getting the money. Oh, that's what those kids are thinking. They're not really thinking about the lives. I think you got to reflect back in 10 or 15 years, they're going to think different. You know, I was with guys that were big influences on me. Mike Williams, he was a catcher, played for Frank K. Lane. Later on, he played for Texas. You know, Manny Rodriguez, he also was from there. He's probably from the projects down there. Timmy Smith, that actually stays in touch with me on and off through here. These are all black dudes, Spanish guys that grew up with me that were good influence with me as a kid, right? And I look back at those guys and I'm saying, they would have never thought I would become that guy that was out there shooting. And when I look back and I said, what happened? You start getting swallowed up with the street and you don't realize it. And that same kid that's out there killing somebody, shooting somebody, if me and you met him, he's a good kid.
Right.
He's got heart. He take care of his family. He just don't really get what he's doing yet. I don't know what the reason. That's why I like these town halls that we did. You know, I like talking to kids because they know when you're being real and you're honest with them. We ain't getting paid for this. We're just trying to save their lives.
That's
so it, they know we got no agenda. And kids are smart, man. You ain't hustling. They're too smart to get hustled. You just got to talk real with them and they'll respect you. So I think the more that we go out, we can reach one kid or two kids. Well, you know, guys like TT who has kids out there now, or Merck, they understand because they spent their time in prison too. They don't want to see their kids on the street laying dead or going to jail for life. And really, that's it, just to explain to them that your lives is worth more than hurting another guy. Because hurting that other guy is just hurting yourselves.
Right.
And hopefully we can keep, you know, explain that to them because, you know, I'm tested every day still. And that ain't an easy test. And for me, as an older guy, it's not an easy test. So for the young guys, when, you know, when ego's involved, it's not that easy for them to turn away and walk away. They just got to love themselves more, look in the mirror and say, man, I really like myself. I ain't doing this to me.
Dan, when you were saying, you know, you don't understand why they're shooting each other and things like that. I remember years ago when the song Pumped Up Kicks was popular and my kids explained to me what it was really about, that they're killing over shoes, gym shoes. I mean, wow, that's just bad.
Yes. You know, I just recently, John, I don't know if I told you, I just recently lost a young man that I knew since the age of 10. He was 50 when he got shot a couple of weeks ago. And I used to work at a place called Amboy Neighborhood Center. It was a temporary homeless shelter in Brooklyn. And I got an opportunity at the repast to speak to about 400 young people that I raised. And it was like 1,000 at his funeral. And the funny part is that they still call me Mr. Danny. Okay, so I know that I touched them and they touched me. And when they tell me how much I did for them, I told them no, but allowed me the opportunity to be around y'all. I don't let them get away with what I did for them. It's what they did for me, because some people say you can't talk to young people, but have they ever tried? See, that's the key. Have they ever tried? And if they try, they'd be surprised.
You can talk, Dan. I did a video before Casanova went to prison, and you know I did it with a lot of bloods and different guys, real good kids, all of them, wild kids, good kids. You can talk to them. They just don't understand. You know, and they know because I told them, I don't want to see you lose your lives, man. I don't want to see you go to jail. You guys are good guys, man. You know, and people see them in a different light because they only hear about the criminality stuff. But I see them what they are because I used to be that criminal. So I can see through them. They got good hearts. They're good kids. They're funny. They got talents, different talents. Some of them are dancing. Some of them are singing and rapping. And you're hoping to save them because they don't see the talent they got in themselves that I see they got. So, you know,
this photo bombing is White Mike Ratliff. He's part of our organization. And Mike, we've been together. I mean, me and Mike been together over 40 years working with young people. We just took 60 kids down to Richmond, Virginia, to a football team, and that's what we do. And I'm sorry he photo bombing me right now, but
I'm glad this is what we do, though, for the
you
photo. Okay.
know, but John,
I'm going patrolling.
and right now he's patrolling the area around the schools because we see that it needs to be safe zones. And the mayor and a lot of people don't see what we do, but it ain't for them to see, because we see what they're not doing, so we got to pick up.
I'm going to tell you what to do, Dan, and this is something I talk about a lot. We got to get the mayor 300 tickets to basketball, to football games, to hockey games, to shows on Broadway, to concerts, to music. 300 tickets isn't a lot of tickets to donate on a regular basis to show these kids there's something outside of the world they see in that neighborhood of drugs and killing. I never was exposed to it. As I got older, I got exposed to all these opportunities. We got to show them, give them free tickets to these events to show them there is so much more outside those neighborhoods. And that's what they need to be exposed to. Different things, free trips to Florida, somewhere to California. Expose them outside those little neighborhoods that we only know, because we only know about violence, drugs, and hustling in our neighborhoods.
Right.
And there's got to be a change. And that change is giving them the exposure to see something else and say, hey, man, your life is worth more. Your life is worth more than you think it is.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before, John, how you never had that opportunity until later in life. And you're absolutely right, because one little thing, going to a museum or a Broadway show or whatever, just one little thing like that can spark something in somebody and change their whole life towards the good.
There was a kid, Chetta, that was in jail, me in Florida, big kid, 6'5", skinny kid, played basketball, can really play. And he had a learning disability. But if you heard this kid rap and you watch him play basketball, this was a wasted talent in prison. I got close with him. Young kid, they tried to give him a life sentence. And his grandmother was, he was raised by his grandmother, a real good woman. Lousy lawyer, tried to hustle her out of his money, her money. And I helped him with his case. Anyway, he was a prime example of a kid that could have been a success story in so many different things. And I hope he's good now, because from what I understand, he did get released finally.
John, I just spoke about me and Mike. We took 60 kids down to Virginia with their football team. But this right here is called an honor band. And when I went to Virginia, I had to go down because that's my hometown. And I had to call some of my guys that I played ball with and some of the kids that played ball in New York that lived down there. And on this band, it says, "I value myself and others." And we're trying to make this a national thing. Some of the athletes wear it, but when they met Dennis Shaw from Raleigh, North Carolina, I played against him in high school. 50 years later, we still talk. We didn't like them guys in North Carolina,
Right.
but 50 years later, we're out trying to save life. And Dennis Shaw goes to every mass shooting in the nation, and he talks to young people. And he came two times from Raleigh, North Carolina, to talk to some kids that came from Brooklyn, New York, to play football. And that's what I think happened to me when I went down south. I told you I got a lot of brothers and sisters. I'm able to pick up a phone and say, "Hey, man, I'm coming home. Can you help me?" And it's never no, John. And that's the way I feel when I talk to you. It's never been no. So I just want to just keep on connecting these dots with y'all, man, and seeing how we can just save as many as we can before we leave. And our legacy will speak to what we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say great things about you now, John, because I don't think people realize all the things that you do for other people behind the scenes. And I'm sure I'm only seeing a quarter of it myself, but yeah, both of you are just amazing, man. I'm so impressed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Dan, I just want to wish you always, but this month especially for Black History Month. I really, you're a prime example of a great human being, and I thought that bringing you on for this month would be an honor for us, and a tribute to what you do. And hopefully other fathers and community leaders will step up and follow your lead, not just this month, but every day the way you do. So I just wanted to, you know, just shine a little light on you. And obviously me and you'll be talking like we always do.
Yes, sir. And
God bless you, brother, really. Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. Thank y'all. Hey, thank y'all for having me.
How do they reach you, people, if they want to get in touch, help you out with what you do?
Well, first of all, I'm on Belmont Avenue every day at 69 Belmont, Belmont and Watkins. We have a culinary school that we're trying to get back up and running since the pandemic. Or they can reach me at 646-918-0390. I'm here in Brownsville, but I don't have a fear of traveling anywhere. Just call me and I'll try to get there.
Oh, man. Anybody that wants to reach him can also reach him through me, John Elite. That's my Instagram, my website, johnelite.com. Anybody wants to volunteer to help the communities, please let us know. Write us. Hit the subscribe button on the show, Sink or Swim. And we'd love to talk to you and hear from you. Comment on the show, please. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Love you, brother. Thank you.